Revelation chapter 17, verses 1 through 6, as we look at the Babylon of the tribulation. Revelation chapter 17, verses 1 through 6. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, and I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. And he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery of Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as we seek to preach your word, help us to rightly divide it. Lord, I can only do so much, but thy Holy Spirit can do it all. So I pray thy Spirit now will just only use my voice as an instrument, but thy Holy Spirit would actually speak to each heart here today and those listening by way of radio and internet. I pray that you would do only what you can do through it. And we ask this in that name that's above every name, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. There are those who believe that Babylon here in Revelation chapter 17 is old Babylon, which was what was in modern-day Iraq today, and is Islam. And they believe that this is the one described in Revelation 17. They look at Revelation 18 as someone different. Now, I want us to look at this from a biblical point of view today and just see what the Bible actually is teaching us. You know, the best an interpreter of the Bible is the Bible. You know, it really is. Now, I will say at the outset that the Babylon of Revelation 17 and 18 are one Babylon. I don't believe that they are two different entities. I believe God is showing us the last day's religion that is not what we are, okay? But they claim to be Christ. Don't forget, when I get in, we're going to be talking about Rome, but don't forget, the Roman church started out as a good, solid Christian local churches. It's what grew out of that that became evil. But they still named the name of Christ, even though during the Inquisition they put over 60 million Christians to death. So understand that when we're talking about this, they are the ones I believe that this is referring to. But Revelation 17 is not religious and Revelation 18 business. I believe that they are both one. And we're going to allow the Word to show us that. Look at chapter 17, verse 16. It says, The ten horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. You said, Pastor, when's this going to happen? Well, right now, you and I are looking at the next thing to happen, of course, is the rapture, and then the judgment seat of Christ for us. But that's only for the saved. The rest are left behind. And this then is manifested in that day. And now this religion there will be seen, and we could go into Revelation 17 verse by verse and go into a more detailed study. But what I want you to understand is what our text is looking at is during the tribulation. There's a 7-year period. It begins after the rapture. How long after the rapture? I don't know. Some believe it starts the same day. Others believe that it could be as much as 40 years afterwards. And they like to use the cross and the destruction of Jerusalem when the Lord said that when the Messiah shall be cut off and Jerusalem destroyed, there's almost a 40-year period. Yet if you read that verse, it sounds like it's all happening at the same time. And so understand how soon after the rapture the tribulation starts, I don't know. And maybe that's why so many people be deceived, because at the end of 7 years, nothing's happened that they thought was going to happen. So when does it start? I don't know. The Bible hasn't really given us clarity on that. If it hasn't given us real clarity on it, then we don't really need to know. What we need to know is that Jesus is coming as saved people, and we're going to be given an account of ourselves unto Him. And so I think we need to be more concerned with that. We really do. But having said that now, I'm trying to get all that out of the way just to say this here. The ten horns, as we said, are nations within the old Roman Empire. They will hate this whore, that is, this religious entity that is described for us in verses 1 through 6. And so we're told that they will hate her. And this is forward-looking. It says, they shall, they shall, they shall. Three times the word shall is mentioned in this passage in verse 16 of chapter 17. They shall. And it's important that you understand that, because in chapter 18, we see the results of they shall. In verses 2 through 5, look at the word is as I read verses 2 through 5 of the destruction spoken of that is out of chapter 17, verse 16. Because it's taken place. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Is fallen is the result of shall in chapter 17, verse 16. It happening. Now remember, chapter divisions are of man. Even when the King James was translated, it didn't have chapters and verses. That came, the numbering came later. I think it was a good thing they numbered it. I mean, if I was going to preach on something from Proverbs chapter 22, I wouldn't say, look in the Bible where it says this. Okay, you'd have to look through 22 chapters of Proverbs before you finally got there, you know. So we have a reference. I gave you Revelation 17. If I would have just started and said, the first words of where this starts is, and gave you the first words, you'd still be looking right now. So it was good that we got the numbered divisions. But understand, though, they weren't there to begin with. So therefore, the subject has not changed. They shall. It is happened. It has happened. They are fallen. And so, the differences are seen after the destruction. I mean, chapter 17, verse 4. Boy, look at that. Arrayed in purple. Scarlet color, decked with gold, precious stones, pearls. I mean, that says how great it is. But then you look at verse 2 here of chapter 18, and she's fallen. She's a habitation of devils and of every foul spirit and of every, in a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. In other words, things have changed. And now she is something that is very vile to the eyes and even to our spirit. Verse 3 points out her fornication with the merchants and the abundance of her delicacies. Now, I've preached to you and said that there will be people that get saved in the tribulation. I don't think that if you've heard the gospel, you've been under conviction about the gospel, you know you're not saved, and you pass it up, I don't think you'll be able to get saved, according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. But I believe there'll be a multitude that's not heard the gospel, and they'll be able to get saved. And maybe some of them will be around Rome. But whatever it is, he says, come out of her, my people. And you see, the holiness of God in all ages is paramount. Always. God seems to move in destructive judgment as His holiness is attacked over and over. And when God's people begin to really corrupt the holiness of God, you see it in Israel. The corruption got so that God said, okay, and He brought destruction to Israel back in the Old Testament. And so, God's instruction is come out of her. Well, we have that today in our own church age. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 through 18, the age you and I are living in right now, he says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord has Christ with Belial? And what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. We don't use idols. We don't make statues of Jesus Christ. Now understand, I know people have a little cross with the Jesus hanging on it, but in Exodus chapter 20, he says not to make an image of anything on earth, under the earth, but also of nothing in heaven, including God. Don't try to make an image of God. It's always going to come short. Well, a lot of them worship those images. A lot of them worship the Mary image and so forth like that. Well, God says no. No. That is abominable to Him. And besides, when you receive Christ, you have Him in you. Why do I need something out there when I have the very God Himself, His Spirit in me? I don't need that. You see, and none of us need that. And so He goes on there and He says, to come out from among them, and he says, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And the idea is, come out right now and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Do you realize that one of the most major doctrines of the Bible, now all Bible is true, all is major as far as I'm concerned, but what we'd call a major doctrine of the Bible, just like the deity of Christ, the holiness of God. Separation is a major doctrine of the Bible. It is a positive doctrine. You say, well, how is it positive? Child's born. Say, we have a smallpox vaccination. We want to give your child. No. I don't care if he gets smallpox, but I don't want him to have that vaccination. Well, that's stupid. Why don't you want him to have vaccination? Because I think it might hurt. It might hurt them to get that shot. So you'd rather them die? That's ignorant. Separation is taught in the Scripture for our good. And it is spiritual health to us, spiritual good for us. Separation is a major doctrine of the Bible that too many independent Baptists are watering down. Isn't it interesting that taking the contemporary music and, well, we'll just tone it down a little bit. We'll take the drums out and it'll be all right. And then they splattered the name of the guys that wrote the music on the screens. And they think that people are dumb. Huh? They know who wrote it. See, the people who are trying to deceive the congregations are the ones that are actually being deceived, although they do deceive the congregations. Now, I'll hear people say, well, I don't see anything wrong with that. Well, let me tell you something. If that's your attitude, I can also tell you, you really are lacking greatly in understanding the holiness of God. And really, you need to change your study from what kind of music can I use to the holiness of God, I think you'd be 100% better off. I think you'd be 100% better off. Israel was commanded to not touch the unclean thing in the law and to separate from the nations. In Jeremiah chapter 51, verses 44 and 45, he says, I will punish Bel in Babylon, and I will bring forth out of his mouth that which he has swallowed up, and the nation shall flow together, shall not flow together any more to him. Yea, the wall of Babylon shall fall, and my people, go ye out of the midst of her, and deliver ye every man his soul from the fierce anger of the Lord. Sounds like what we just read in chapter 18, verse 4. You see, before the law was ever on the scene, in Genesis chapter 6, we read about the flood, and it destroyed the world because, we're told in Genesis 6, the thoughts of men's heart were evil. And then in addition to that, violence covered the land. From Noah to Abraham on to Moses, men are called out from their people to be separated unto God. Now understand, that's what separation is about. Separation from the world, but separated unto God. If you leave out being separated unto God, and you're just separated from the world, you got both sides. You're in the middle, and that's not a good place to be when they're shooting across. Okay, in the middle's not a good place to be. So let's be right with God. Let's seek God with our whole heart, 100%. God remembers her iniquities. His people must get away from the unclean. We're told in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 17 and 18, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it begin first at us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Now, this serves as a warning for the church today. A church that goes from sound doctrine. There are preachers as well as parents that try to justify the sinful things that are done today that just 15, 20 years ago we preached against. All of a sudden we're trying to justify it and come up with some things. And then the contemporary preachers, they'll say some things that sound good. And people will even say to me, they say, you know, I know you don't agree with their music. Boy, that preacher can really preach good. Boy, he hits it. He hits sin hard. And sometimes I'll have just fun with it. And I'll say, oh, you mean when he gets up there and preaches, he preaches against that contemporary music and their social drinking? See, they're deceived. They're deceived. And they don't know it. That's because we lack a separation and a knowledge of the holy. Knowledge of the holy brings you into godly wisdom, the Bible tells us. And so, we find that men do preach against sin, but they might say a safe sin. They say, okay, my crowd says it's homosexual marriage is wrong, so they'll preach against homosexual marriage. But they won't preach against the music that their kids are listening to. That's a sin, and it is wrong, and it's plaguing the church today. And therefore, you say, how did this country get the way it is? It's so wicked, it's so evil. It's because there are too many justifying the devil in the church. And that's how it gets out. In Revelation chapter 19, verses 1 through 3, now getting back here with our text, and after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia! And her smoke rose up forever and ever. Now people say these are two different Babylons in Revelation 17 and 18. Okay. Revelation 19, who's heaven rejoicing over? Business Babylon or religious Babylon getting destroyed? You see? If we say, well, 18 talks about business Babylon, that means Revelation 17, religious Babylon, still going great. Everything's good. So you got to look at, is it both? Or they both represent one? The Bible's teaching us they both represent one. You must always consider the whole counsel of God, not the theories of men. Theories of men break down against the whole counsel of God. Now, we've seen why it's not two, but now let's look at to this Babylon. Let me just give you a running statement of the Scripture. The judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. The Greek word for whore is porne, P-O-R-N-E, to spell it out for you. And it is rendered harlot in verse 5. Henry Morse, in his Defender Study Bible notes, tells us that it's related to pornea, which is usually translated fornication. And pornos, which is fornicator or whoremonger. And one can clearly see that from this Greek word is where we get our English word pornography. You see, it's fornication. It is any sexual sin of any kind, whether it's in the mind. He that looketh upon a maid that lusts after her has committed adultery with her already in his heart, Jesus said. So don't have the pornography. Don't have it. The great whore sits upon many waters. What are those many waters? Revelation 17, verse 15, and he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. Her fornication is across the board. People, multitudes, nations, tongues. This religion is worldwide. And it's associating itself with Christ. They deceive about Christ. You see, Christ is existent. There is no Allah. Therefore, this is not talking about Islam in here. There is no Allah. They claim to be with Christ. Now notice verses 2 through 4. Her raiment of gold and precious stones and pearls and purple and scarlet for this woman. Well, in that day it was very expensive. She'd be a highly honored woman, a rich woman. But it uses the word fornication in verse 2. And in this use and the way it's applied, it is speaking of someone who is married and they're cheating on their husband. Now, Rome started out, local churches, Paul was there. They started local churches. And what is the local church? We are the bride of Christ. But now it has developed so much further. It's gone beyond that. And so it's into fornication. They've gone outside the marriage between the church and God for their relationships. And in our physical life, it's those that go outside their own personal marriage to their husband or their wife in that sexual relationship. Now, let me just say this. If anyone is guilty of that, confess it and make it right. Just make it right. Go to the ones that you've committed that type of sin with, as well as to your marriage partner. And by the way, you say, why would you say something to the ones you've committed sin with? Well, you don't want them to treasure the moment with you, whether it's another man or another woman. Now, men, they're proud anyway, so they need to be knocked down. But apologize, whether it's to your mate or to somebody you've been in adultery with, accepting full responsibility and not blaming anyone else. Well, my wife or if my husband hadn't have been this way, I wouldn't have done it. Or if he hadn't have been so pressured on me. No, no. You accept full responsibility for your sin. You could have said no. Full responsibility without blaming one. But also let them know that that is the biggest regret of your life. The act of adultery was not enjoyable. And it even may still bother you. You see, they need to know that you don't treasure it. And hopefully, they'll see the gospel that made a change as you share Christ. And you let them know. Now, let's go on here with the message. God calls in the New Testament the saved. He calls them the bride, as we just pointed out earlier. In the Old Testament, he calls Israel his wife. God does not believe in divorce in that respect. He calls Israel his wife. He makes both one because God is not a polygamist. And he says that he would make them one in that eternal day. But God uses marriage, for it accurately speaks of the commitment to Christ and the love and relationship we are to have with him. It is to be unadulterated from worldliness. Not like Rome. This is what hurts a lot of the last days when men and are lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. They will simply not endure sound doctrine, the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 4. They will not endure sound doctrine. Once they get into it, boy, anything can happen. That's why you have contemporary music in God's house today. In this case, the church gets into the governments. It gets into the nations. They adjust their doctrines so as not to offend those nations in certain ways. And that's why nearly all the nations of the world have an ambassador to the Vatican. The name of Jesus is mentioned, but Mary seems to have a higher place. And that is blasphemy. God looks at it just like he does a cheating spouse. Nations, peoples, governments, particularly businessmen, profit from her fornication. She is rich and they get richer. Rome has much power financially. Who once was part of the local church. Men as Constantine and Augustine greatly influenced her fornication and doctrine. That's why this church is against things such as homosexual marriage and abortion. But we won't hold hands with Catholics, Mormons, and Islamics to stand against it. We can stand against it in the power of God. We don't have to do like Jehoshaphat and join forces with Ahab to fight an enemy. We can do it in the power of God. In chapter 18, verses 16 through 19, and saying, "Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, for in 1 hour so great riches has come to naught. And every shipmaster and all the company and ships and sailors and as many as trade by sea stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, 'What city is like to this great city?' And they cast dust on their heads, and they cried, weeping and wailing, saying, 'Alas, alas, that great city wherein all were made rich, all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness, for in 1 hour she made desolate.'" My son Paul, I'd preached on this some time ago, and he afterwards did a study of that, and he came up with something there that I thought was very unique about comparing, could this be old Rome or could this be old Iraq? Rome or Iraq? And so let me just read what he found. Revelation speaks of sailors in ships in this passage. "The sailors in ships see the smoke from Babylon. Smoke can be seen typically about 20 miles away. If one is high up in a mast of a big ship, maybe 40 miles away." I don't know if they had ships that big in that day, but if it's a great big ship and they can get up the highest part of the mast, maybe they can see it up to 40 miles away. "If one looks at the original Babylon in Iraq, it's roughly 300 miles away from the Persian Gulf. And Baghdad is about 50 miles further than that. No chance of seeing the smoke. Rome, however, is on the coast. We're told that they lamented over the wine, fine flour, and wheat. Well, if you look at the old Persian Empire today, they're not growing wheat. They're not growing flour. And really, it's against wine over there, which is a good thing. So they're against those things. So they don't have that in that old Babylonian Empire. But what about Italy and Rome? Most of us have eaten enough pasta to know what about Italy and Rome, haven't we? But there, it has plenty of wine, plenty of wheat, plenty of flour. If Google Earth image of Rome is brought up, one can see nothing but multi-million dollar yachts in the harbor to the south of it, backing up verse 19. So I appreciate Paul doing that for me. But what I want you to see, that's the accuracy of the Scriptures. We just need to preach the Word and believe it. That's how accurate the Scriptures are. And understand this. This was written nearly 2,000 years ago. They knew they would use the name of Christ for themselves to try to hide their real purpose, because that real purpose is not to exalt Christ. Theirs was fornication, being the ecumenicalism. And that's what fornication is spiritually, as a woman cheating on the marital relationship. And she is put to death. God is long-suffering. But once He begins to move in judgment, His judgment is swift. May I remind you of four passages in this regard? Luke 13:3, Jesus said, "Except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish." Proverbs 29:1 said, "He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." Jesus said in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man," and that means absolutely no one, "no man comes unto the Father but by me." Revelation 20, 14 and 15. "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." My friend, He moves quickly. You need to come while there's time. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2 says it this way. "Behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation." You see, the Savior's waiting. If you're not sure if you die today that heaven's your home, the Savior's waiting for you just to come to Him. He's waiting. He wants you to come. John 6:37 says that if you'd come to Him, He would in no wise cast you out. You've got to come. You've got to come. Just come. Let's bow our heads, please. Father, in a moment, we're going to sing hymn 486, "The Savior's Waiting." Lord, I didn't see anybody raise their hand and say, I don't know if I died, I'd go to heaven or to hell. But, Lord, I pray that if there's somebody that's not saved here, and some could not raise their hand and say that they are, I pray that they might walk this aisle and let us open the Bible and show them how to be saved. Lord, help Christians to have things right with Thee, say, all right, I'm going to be a Christian. Make that decision today. I'm going to be a separated Christian, separated from the world, but separated unto God. Maybe there's others, Lord, that has to come out and say, Lord, I need to make something right with someone. Maybe somebody else says, Lord, I've developed a critical spirit. I know that hinders God's work. And Lord, I don't want to be a hinder to the Holy Spirit of God. And Lord, whatever the spiritual need is, I pray be met in this invitation in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.